Welcome back, newsman. Another week of just crazy news, crazy headlines, all sorts of weird stuff going on.
Every single week, Web Guy, I think, how are we going to come up with topics for this podcast? But the way the world is, just happens.
You never have faith that we're going to be able to put together quality.
Well, given you're the brain's trust, I have complete faith. But it's just amazing how weird and wonderful stories pop up every single week.
They do. This week kind of kicked off with something I had never seen before, a man-made earthquake. I didn't even know that could happen.
Yeah, let's not give away too much, but it's amazing what people power can do when a large group of people are very excited about a certain event.
Yeah, man-made. I said man-made. I should have said, there was women, I'm sure, as well. It was just people. People created earthquakes.
People power.
The maybe worst movie of all time has been getting an absolute pasting this week, mainly online, which is where pastings happen now. But then a bit of a twist during the week when this shocker of a movie, supposedly shocker, we haven't seen it, they've come back swinging.
Yes. Involves one of my favourite Hollywood actors, and it's... You've sort of opened my eyes to how you can really twist social media to your own good. So that's a good story. I like that one.
Yeah, that's a fun one. We know about Star Wars.
Mm.
And we know about the Air Force.
Yes.
And we know about Space Invaders. Mash all these things up and you get a brand new... super cyber space force ranger team.
This one, it was a combination of frightening me, exciting me, and just, yeah, it left me scratching my head. But it'll be interesting to have a chat about what could be happening up in space.
And also the most controversial jacket.
Mm. Is it the one I'm wearing today?
That's the second most controversial jacket I've ever seen. This is the number one most controversial jacket I remember ever seeing. I don't think anyone's ever seen a more controversial one. We'll talk about that. Were you offended?
The more I look into it, yes, I was. Yes, I was.
We won't be too cryptic. This was Melania Trump.
Yeah.
We'll try and get into her psyche. What are you doing, Melania? What's happened here?
It's one of those what were you thinking stories, so... Stay tuned to that one.
Yep. Let's get into it. It's One Newsman and a Web Guy. Newsman, I noticed you just coughing and spluttering before. Have you come down with a case of World Cup fever?
That is right. I am on the bandwagon, Tim. It's that time every 4 years we all become, if we're sort of on the fence about soccer or football, we all become experts and analyse every game. So yeah, I'm on the bandwagon, particularly the Socceroos matches.
I wouldn't claim to be an expert, but something about the Soccer World Cup, it feels like the premier sport event in the world. I think more than the Olympics for some reason for me. I don't know if it's a bit more glamour or just the fact it's just one sport. It's so focused. Okay, this is the only game we're going to play and the whole world's going to watch.
And the great thing about it is the cutthroat nature of it. You've got three games to prove your worth, basically. If you don't get through the pool games, it's all over. So if you lose the first one, like Australia has, the next one is just enormous. You've got to take the points. And I guess it's pitting country v country. There's no other clear way of doing it. I mean, Olympics there are, but some countries are strong in other sports. And this is about... the best of the best going, which country is best at football?
Yeah. Stunning story, though, which I didn't really understand at first. And I had to do some digging just to work out what's going on here. I started to see this story about an earthquake happened in Mexico at the same time as they were playing their World Cup match against Germany.
And now, from initially, that sounds pretty disastrous.
Yeah, not a major earthquake. But, you know, certainly a tremor. It set off some earthquake detectors. And what actually happened was Mexican soccer fans created a man-made earthquake with their goal celebrations.
So jumping up and down in the streets, cheering along. Is that how it would have worked, do you think?
Yeah, well, main public square in Mexico City, just in that one location alone, 75,000 people turned up to watch the match. As the winning goal was scored by Mexico, that just happened to coincide with quote-unquote maximum acceleration in this earthquake event. Let's call it an earthquake event. So the Mexican player scores the winning goal. It's amazing. They've beaten the reigning World Cup champs, which no one thought they would do.
Yes.
At least 75,000 people just in this one spot, and, you know, the many millions across the rest of the country, I guess, have all just gone into absolute pandemonium and set off earthquake detectors with their cheering. I have never heard of such a thing, would not have thought it possible at all. Tried to work out exactly where on the Richter scale they hit, couldn't verify that.
Yes.
So probably not really, probably not really high up on the Richter scale.
I'm probably guessing. Slightly lower than an Adelaide earthquake. But still right up there.
Yeah, well, I mean, we did have a tremor in Adelaide, and that was, what, no more than three. It might have been two.
Yes.
So, yeah, maybe the around that or a little under that, probably. Probably under that.
Hey, but what a great example of people power. What a mass of people can, and I'll say achieve is not the right word, but what a whole mass of people can influence the world.
Unbelievable. I genuinely would not have thought it possible to set off earthquake detectors just by human, you know, momentum. Makes me think if we could somehow synchronize the entire world to jump on the spot at the exact same moment.
Yes.
We all jump up, we all jump down. How many of us are there at the moment? 7 billion or something?
Close.
We'd knock Earth off its orbit. We could doom ourselves just with a jump.
Wow, that's staggering. Staggering. Has this kept you awake at night? Or
No, just... it's only crossed my mind. I'm just telling you about it as it crosses my mind. But the Mexico quake, legitimate. Their government, their government agency that monitors the activity said, yep, we've detected a tremor in Mexico City. And they even said, quote unquote, possibly by massive jumps during the goal of Mexico in the World Cup. So I guess, you know, there's a mass of fans. There is a lot of them, but also unbelievably passionate.
That's it. The one thing I didn't mention about how great the World Cup is that in other sports, if you were an AFL state, everyone's a bit divided about who they're barracking for. There's a little tension about, you know, you feel a bit of ill feeling towards another club, or even cricket doesn't have the whole country behind it all the time, but it seems because the World Cup is only 4 years, we can all afford, as the Mexicans have, to get behind one group of players and just really believe and hope, and I guess get a big morale boost if they have a win. Do you have any World Cup memories, previous World Cups? I'd say it would be 2 to 3 World Cups ago. I have great memories of getting up with friends at 2 in the morning and cracking open a beer on a Tuesday morning and wow, watching Australia. It was the one where we did quite well and pushed for a final spot and things like that. So
I remember my first ever World Cup. It was 1990 and it was in Italy. And I can remember the logo, which is like a block soccer man, terrible graphics, in the Italian colours, kicking. You know when the soccer balls were that old-fashioned black and white thing before they became, you know, unbelievable pieces of cutting edge technology. And I was pretty young playing soccer at the time, and our coaches, we had two coaches, looking back on it, they were just kids themselves at the time. They seemed, you know, like completely grown up, responsible, you know, soccer coaches. Anyway, they told us, guys, the World Cup's on, you need to watch the World Cup. You're in a soccer team, you're playing soccer, watch the World Cup. This is like your homework, so you can see how the best of the best play. Yes. You'll learn all sorts of things about the game. Awesome. I was so pumped, so excited. We didn't have SBS on our TV. I couldn't even watch it. This was like regional New South Wales, 2-channel TV. Sorry, no World Cup.
Oh, no.
Didn't watch it, but I was still excited just by the vibe of it.
Mm. Do you are you one that's has over expectations for Australia, or do you think we're a more realistic nation these days about what we can actually achieve in this thing?
Oh, I remember just not even being in the World Cup. Just yes. Even getting into it, I feel like is great progress. As far as we can get is bonus at that point. Sounds like you have some pretty demanding standards.
No, I think I wasn't expecting us to beat France, but as someone told me yesterday, France wasn't really travelling that well. So
I am not a soccer fan, no expertise at all, but watching the game, I'm just going to come out and say, I mean, yes, the Socceroos did so great to do so well, but watching it, they were out of their league.
Yeah.
Watching it, like, we can't. I mean, you know, the scoreline looked all right. They had a lucky goal. But watching it, I mean, France just looked like they were in second gear the whole time. I don't know. Anyway, we are, you know, the best of our best athletes don't go and play soccer.
No, that's it.
Maybe if they did, we would fare, you know, differently. But, that's rude. I shouldn't say that because our Australian Socceroos are, you know, fine athletes. But as a country, you know, it's not our top sport. Newsman, saw a very interesting one this week. You may have been hearing little bits and pieces relating to the fact possibly the worst movie of all time has come out recently.
I have heard whispers, and I believe it's involving a pretty big name.
John Travolta.
Yeah. Yep.
Huge name. Household name.
Yes.
New film Gotti, based on the real-life story of a... I guess US mob boss. I don't know the ins and outs of it. It's sort of like a mafioso type thing.
Yeah.
Torn from the headlines.
The clips look, you know, action-packed.
Yeah. So action-packed. Big gangster name. You know, this real-life story, I think. I'm pretty sure. I haven't really researched the movie's storyline. Anyway, all we have been hearing is that it's an absolute bomb. And I mean that in the bad sense. Flop.
Mm.
A dud.
Yes.
A fizzer. A shocker. Just a dead set, awful movie. A lot of people mentioning the fact it has a 0% score on Rotten Tomatoes.
Okay.
Which is like a film rating website where it sort of calculates all the different scores it gets for movies, sums them up into this final score. Okay. Something like that.
And it's one of the more... It's probably one of the original websites that have been so interactive.
Yes.
Yeah.
In 2018, at this point, it is legitimate. You know, it has a level of legitimacy in the sense that, okay, everyone... Movies are subjective, but the, you know, Rotten Tomatoes score gives you an indication. It's an indicator as to, you know, most people like this movie, most people didn't like this movie. 0% is not good. I had a quick look. The other films on that website that have 0% include The Nutcracker in 3D.
What is that one? Kids movie? Or?
By the way, these are movies you won't necessarily have heard of.
Yeah.
Super Babies, Baby Geniuses 2. Mac and Me. Now, that sounds like a movie I've heard of.
Well,
an 80s something.
There was a Mac and Me 80s movie. Yeah.
Hasn't fared well. And here's something interesting. Staying Alive, another John Travolta movie from the 70s.
Yeah.
Also 0%.
No.
So maybe their rate, maybe that does undermine their rating scale because pretty popular movie, really.
Just for its cult following, yes, sort of thing, and
exactly,
seeing him dancing in his prime.
Yeah. I mean, it might be a shocking movie, but probably worth more than 0%.
Yes.
So maybe this is there's a Travolta prejudice.
Travolta Revolta.
Oh, that's going to be the episode title of this podcast edition.
Good.
Just write that down, Travolta Revolta. So maybe there's prejudice against him.
Yes.
Because, you know, he's got a couple of movies on the list with 0%. Anyway.
Is he a divisive actor? Like...
Well, he's got so much baggage at this point with, you know, he's got a whiff of scandal about him, Scientology, yes, blah, blah. Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, I haven't seen him in the media circles for a long time, but I always found him just scratch on the surface an endearing sort of guy that seemed pretty
Yeah.
Pretty cool and pretty laid back.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. It does seem like he'd probably be a decent sort of guy without, you know, based on almost nothing. but anyway, all this bad press about how shocking this movie was, I had in my mind written that off. It's like, if you, okay, any mention of Gotti, don't worry about it. I can ignore that movie. It's no good. The people behind the film have done what I think could be a masterstroke. People go on about storytelling. I'm a storyteller and, you know, you got to own the narrative. And all this malarkey just boils down to, you know, getting your message heard. In the wake of this hammering the movie's been copping, they have released an online trailer. It goes only for 16 seconds. It's in a, within a day, it's been viewed, last I checked, just under 300,000 times. Posted from a Twitter account, which only has a few hundred followers. This Gotti film account, a few hundred followers. Yet they've posted a 16-second video that's received almost 300,000 views within a day.
Mm.
And they have tackled the bad press head-on. The kind of text interspersed with the snippets from the movie in the trailer go like this. Who would you trust more, yourself or a troll behind a keyboard? In an instant, I feel like, well, hang on. Maybe I should give this Gotti movie a try.
Mm, yes.
Maybe they are just being trolled by, you know, faceless wimps in basements, you know, as we like to say. I got to find out for myself.
Yes.
Brilliant. I love it. I think it's a really great move. You've seen this 16-second trailer.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not necessarily going to see it, but it looked, if you love action films, it seemed to be a good preview. But,
well,
you know,
yes.
Yeah.
But in the context of, it's how weird for a trailer to reference, you know, kind of online commentary.
Yes.
That's been happening around the film. And I guess because it's been so enormous, the backlash, that they felt they had to address it. They've done it in this way and they've taken it head on, and that is the best possible message. Like, yeah, okay, everyone's saying it sucks, but you're going to believe them or are you going to find out for yourself? Have you got the cojones? They should have added that. They probably should have added that bit at the end.
Exactly. This actually reminds me of another story I heard this week. I think it's fairly old, but an interview with UK performer Lily Allen.
Oh, yes.
And someone was asked about... someone had taken an upskirt photo of her at a concert.
Hey,
and she was asked by the interviewer, you know, how did you respond to that? And she linked it to her new album. So got a huge amount of traffic linked to her album because everyone wanted to see the upskirt photo, the scandal.
So what, she performed a song about it?
No. So she had a new album coming out.
Yeah.
Knew that there was going to be a lot of activity of people, you know,
yeah,
creeps wanting to look at the upskirt image,
uh-huh.
And somehow linked all the traffic that was interested in seeing the upskirt picture, and it became huge promotion for our album.
That is interesting, and I'm sure it's not the case, but it almost makes you think, well, was the upskirt staged?
Oh, you love the conspiracy, don't you?
It's I guess the key to finding conspiracy is just expect the worst from everyone.
Mm.
Not a nice way to live, and I'm sure that's not the case, but that is the exact same principle, which is when you've got this online controversy, bad publicity,
yeah.
You know, upskirt photo or bad reviews, whatever it is, that's some energy. You can work with that, harness it. That's what the smartest, you know, online people are doing now. Use it to your advantage. It's like jiu-jitsu move. Like, okay, you've got this bad energy coming at me. I'm just going to flip it and work it to my advantage. I love that stuff.
Hey, more broadly, it sounds like you do take reviews to heart, and would it determine whether you see a movie or not?
I don't necessarily take individual reviews to heart, but you kind of get a impression of something, just like the weight of reaction and response and media around a product. You get an impression of, you know, is it good or is it bad? And I would have to say, yeah, I think that probably, you know, that probably does have an influence on me. I couldn't say that it doesn't, because if I'm on the fence about, oh, should I watch this, watch that, listen to this, listen to that. I mean, if you're a dead set fan, you're not going to be swayed. But if you're on the fence and you're having to toss up between a couple of options, then you think back, oh, geez, everyone said that was rubbish, so I'll go with this other one instead. Yeah. I think, yeah, for sure, it's a factor.
Times have definitely changed, though, haven't they? Movie critics were gods at one stage. So there'd be probably... There may have been, 15, 20 in the whole of Australia critiquing films, and they were the only one with a voice about a film.
Mm.
I actually had a friend that was a movie critic. He still is into that part of the industry. We met in early university, and he and another friend of ours, they were very in sync with what films they liked and what they really enjoyed.
Yep.
And I often was swayed by their opinions of films. And it took me a while to just accept that my take on films could be different. So I can enjoy an Adam Sandler film, even though it's junk. It's just fun. It's just brainless.
Mm.
And that's not wrong. It's just a different point of view. So if I'd listened to every thought they had on a film, I would have missed out sometimes.
That's a good point. As you were saying that, I was thinking David Stratton is the only movie reviewer I can really think of, and I have kind of read his reviews before, and he had a TV show for a long time. And I did feel like if he says it's really good, then it's going to be really good.
Yes.
But at the same time, I never saw him review a Sandler movie, and I don't think he would have rated it well, which doesn't mean that the Sandler movie's not good. I still loved a lot of those movies, but he wouldn't have reviewed them favorably. So you're right. You got to, pick and choose. Have a real Space Invaders type situation happening this week, Newsman?
Well, I'm an 80s kid that loved all those sort of Space Invaders, those sort of sci-fi sort of storylines.
And Star Wars. We're almost seeing the Star Wars mythology, it might be beginning in real life.
Mm.
Dead set, Newsman, because this week US President Donald Trump has announced the creation of the U.S. Space Force.
Ooh.
Sounds pretty impressive.
It does. I saw a tagline on one of the news services, the sixth line of defense.
All right, this is
for the U.S.
Yeah, that's right. This is what Trump said. It is not enough to merely have an American presence in space. We must have American dominance in space, which... I'm going to break in here. That sounds a bit scary. Do you need to dominate space, really? I guess if they don't, maybe someone else will. Is that the thinking here?
I guess so.
He goes on, I'm hereby directing the Department of Defense and Pentagon to immediately begin the process necessary to establish a space force as the sixth branch of the armed forces.
Mm.
We have the Air Force.
One.
We're going to have the Space Force.
Right.
Separate but equal. So it's Air Force, Army.
Navy,
whatever else they've got.
Yeah.
Marine, SEALs. I don't know how it all works.
Yeah.
Another one. Let's just create a brand new one equal to the Air Force, but patrolling, dominating space.
If this is the new space race as such, and you get a... I'm picturing defense spaceships up there guarding that area above the US, I guess. But if you're up there first, who are you defending against?
Well, that is a good question. There's a lot there's a lot of stuff already up there. There's so many satellites.
Yeah.
And a space station. I'm not sure there's more than one of those, but at least satellites, which are pretty important things when you think of all the stuff that relies on satellite imagery.
Yeah.
So even just protecting or defending or patrolling those, I guess could be a job. I don't know. It all sounds scary. The space has always kind of been one of those, I don't know, it's sort of like a bit of a fantastic horizon. You go out and explore space. You don't go out and dominate it.
You don't like that term, do you?
Nah. The term it doesn't sound right to me. It's just practical. Maybe I'm just being head in the clouds. But, Earth is kind of hostile enough. Space felt like a bit of, you know, that's our Get Out.
Yeah, it's sort of a, while there are rivals in technology and projects up there, it was a sort of a universal feel up there that up there we are all as one, a bit more tranquil, but not really.
More stories are coming out about this. They are, you know, it sounds like they're prepping, at least in theory, for how space warfare will play out. And there are academic institutions working on, you know, what are they called? The rules of war. What's the proper way to phrase that? You know, whatever that is.
Yeah, yeah.
Like the rules of space warfare. They're working on those already, as if it's a foregone conclusion that we're going to be blowing each other up in another realm. Earth, you know, not cutting it anymore. Let's find a new space to blow each other up. It's a bit of a downer.
Yeah. I mean, while it's good for movies, I think a space war would be, a Star Wars, if you like, would be...
to coin a phrase.
would be fairly quick and swift if you've got laser weapons. Lasers.
Yes, of course, that'd be lasers.
You'd be knocking ships out left, right and centre. There wouldn't be any sort of dogfights like you saw in Star Wars. It would be quite brutal.
Let's just put real life warfare aside. Let's just decide it in video games. Let's just all agree that we're going to have virtual wars in a video game, and whoever wins that wins.
Yes.
And we just agree to that. We don't actually have to go around hurting each other. It just feels so, you know, that feels so 20th century.
What do you call those goggles that VG, I don't know what they're called.
Yeah, they're called goggles.
Goggles. Yeah, I can just see Trump and Kim Jong just in a room going, boo, boo, boo. I got you.
Well, that would be preferable. That would be a great outcome for everyone.
Now, what you're really good at, Web Guy, is really taking a real clinical look at things. And I have a feeling you think this may not all be about the space warfare and space defense, that perhaps Donald Trump is manipulating the media once again.
Yeah, I can't take credit for it. There is already a conspiracy running wild that he has no intention of setting up a space force. He's said nothing of how it will be paid for or who will actually do it or how it will work. You know, a bit light on detail. It almost sounds, you know, not feasible. The conspiracy or the suggestion is that he is under the pump on immigration policy at the moment, where the US is under fire for separating kids from parents in situations where refugees are arriving trying to get into the country.
Yep.
They're like taking, you know, whatever the situation is, like the kids are ending up separated from their parents. Sounds pretty bad, and, you know, that's a whole shite storm brewing about that. And he's under the pressure. So the suggestion is, well, if he talks about a space force, then everyone will start talking about that instead, like we have. It's a bit of a, hey, look over here.
Yes.
Tactic.
Yep. Create a new enemy, a faceless enemy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, to ease the pressure on the other situation, which is blowing up in his face.
It's funny how we scoff at all these ideas, and they are just big pie-in-the-sky tactics by the president. But I recall in the mid-80s learning as a young boy about Ronald Reagan's, I think it was called, Star Wars program or something, where it was early days of satellite and weaponry and stuff. And that really concerned me, only being able to sort of pick up the general gist of it. And as you can see, after 35 years, I haven't developed any more understanding of the topic back then. But these sort of issues can concern people that don't really go deep into an issue.
Yeah, and that was a good thing about NASA, was all about space, but it was not so much let's dominate space.
Yeah.
Or let's, you know, shoot missiles from space.
About learning about space.
Let's learn about space. Let's explore space.
Let's develop technology that we can use in space, but also use back at
Yeah, and yeah. NASA has, you know, apparently had, you know, the funding, you know, it's barely funded anymore. It doesn't even hardly exist in the form it used to, as far as I know. So, you know, they're moving out of that and into, you know, Space Force. Or are they? Maybe they're not. If this is, in fact, a decoy. But anyway, it just says something about maybe the era, the times that we live in. Let's find something a bit more chipper to talk about next. Ho-ho, a gaffe for the ages we have seen this week, Newsman. Today, in fact, as we speak. Biggest story in the world. Everyone's talking about it. Everyone's reporting it. Melania Trump, President Donald's wife.
First Lady.
First Lady, yes.
Doesn't come out right, First Lady, when you're talking about her, but I guess it'll grow.
Okay, yeah. Yes. Went to do a very humane visit to migrant children who've been separated from their parents at the US border. Bit of a terrible situation. We mentioned it before. All kinds of, you know, nastiness going on. All terrible scenes coming out of there. So she's paid a visit, which is a great thing. Like, go and see them. Like, you know, and supposedly Trump might be backflipping on the thing. So anyway, maybe they're going to fix it. But just get there. Meet the humans. Meet them. Talk to them.
That's it. You got to get there. Get the... It's not facts and figures. You got to go there, get the stories, and really... have a heartfelt look at the issue.
Which all sounds great. But on her way there, she wore this jacket with massive text scrawled across the back of it. I really don't care, do you? In like big white block letters. You can't miss it.
Yes.
Completely, you know, blatant.
Now, what's your take on that? Like, now, were you saying that this is probably part of the brand, that that's one of the catchphrases on some of their clothing, or
apparently it's a jacket from a fashion line.
So she hasn't prepped the jacket before going on a
No, she hasn't.
She hasn't got the big texture out or anything.
She hasn't graffitied it herself. But First Lady, as you mentioned, under scrutiny, going to be photographed, going to be filmed. It's a statement. They would call it a statement jacket. People are going to see this. They're going to think that you're making a message. You're sending a message here. You don't just, you know, nonchalantly put on a, you know, gym. You know, it's not as though you just grab the jacket that comes to hand as you're out the door. These things are, you know, stage managed. Have to assume that she's making a statement here.
Yeah.
Which is how most people have taken it.
I mean, you'd like to think she could walk out the door and whatever she wears within reason won't be scrutinised. But that's not the real world. Every detail of from body language to interaction with others to clothing will be scrutinised. And surely, surely she knew this.
Well, that's the thing. We can't know. Only she can know. Donald Trump came out and said it was a reference to fake news. Just sounded implausible. Sounded like something he'd made up to try and brush the whole thing under the carpet.
Yep.
I like this summary, which I saw tweeted by a comedian. But, you know, I feel like it's an incisive comment. We can't know what's inside her head. So there's two options here. She is either... I've got to say it. This is what he said. She's either the dumbest person ever, didn't realise that she was inadvertently sending this horrible message, or she's the meanest and knew what she was doing all along. Neither option is great. Neither option is great. You're either being really mean or really dumb. Take your pick. Whichever way you slice it, it's a faux pas by the First Lady.
What's her track record been since Donald Trump's been U.S. president? Has she made a lot of gaffes in her time? Is this out of character?
I think she's been kind of fairly under the radar, played it fairly quiet,
backseat. Yeah.
Yep. Just let Donald do the. You know, he's doing all the all the running. What can you do with a guy like that? The only thing that does keep popping up every now and then is all this footage and photos of her in every public situation refusing to hold his hand.
Yeah.
So that's been a funny little thing that people have kept tabs on. But otherwise, she really has been largely out of the spotlight until now, I guess.
My initial thought was maybe it was a, given what you've talked about, the frosty relationship between the two of them, or the perceived frosty relationship, given some of the cold body language seen between the two of them, that perhaps it was a direct message to Donald Trump.
Yeah, that could well be it. You know, that could. I think you could be absolutely onto something. But if that's the case,
wrong place, wrong time.
She's botched it. Yeah, send your message in another way.
Just a shame because the event itself, or the her going there, I think would have raised her profile and popularity. Not profile, it's big enough already, but I think Americans would have connected with what she achieved there, been just swept aside, almost swept aside, because of words on a jacket.
Should have been a massive success for her. And you got to think there are some sharp political operators, you know, working around the First Lady. And there had to be people, there had to be some staff who saw her put that jacket on, saw her walking out there, knew there was going to be cameras, and just could see this coming. There had to have been people there who could see this coming.
Wait. So you're saying that people that should be helping her have just let her do this?
I don't know. Whether it's just she was adamant, what can you do? Or I'm not suggesting a conspiracy theory, but I can just, there must have been backroom dealers who just had their heads in their hands, just face palming, knowing the coming onslaught that was going to happen. Because, I mean, how blatant. You see the jacket. This was always going to blow up.